Hey there, you and I back together again Monday, November 28th, 2022 on Connecticut Today. We featured State House Republican leader Vin Candelora on the General Assembly special session and rising electric bills. And I also had some thoughts on a controversial rebate proposal. And Southern Methodist University professor and film critic Dr. Andrew Draper joined us to chat about the recent string of Disney movie problems. All right, a special session underway in Hartford, State House, State Senate, trying to tie up some loose ends toward the end of the year and actually do things that are going to affect people in the dollar and cents situation here. A lot to get to. Republican State House leader Vin Candelora, North Brantford, joins us. Vin, good afternoon. Happy holidays. How are you?
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, Vin. So what's going on up there? I know you guys and gals have been busy today. Give us the lowdown, the skinny on what is being done and what is still to be done up there in this session that I know you're looking at some vital issues here.
Yeah, so we're actually debating the bill right now. We're still sort of in the throes of it. And it revolves around, one, extending the gas tax holiday into the spring. It's set to expire on December 1st. And it's something I think both sides of the aisle really pushed for. We also are extending more, putting more money into the LIHEAP program, which is known as the low energy, the assistance program, low income assistance program for heating fuel. And then the last piece is that hero pay program that was established promising people bonuses for working throughout the pandemic. It was grossly underfunded in the budget. And in this session, we are going to be voting to put more money into that program.
Yeah, I've had a couple of callers here, Vin, ask me what the deal was with that because they applied online and they were still waiting for their certification here. So if is the point here, Vin, to get everybody the promised figure that they were promised, if the money is there for that now that you're adding to this, is that just kind of making good on a promise here?
It's half making good on a promise. I mean, the Democrats promised $1,000 to every person that worked in the pandemic. That has now been reduced. So some people are only going to see, you know, $150. Others might see more. We are still waiting to see how this all flushes out. But they have added an income eligibility criteria to it. So the more money you make, the less you'll receive. So it's really less about hero pay now, and it's about cobbling together a program where they could say that they're making good on something. But it certainly is a broken promise that helped them in the election cycle, and now I think that they're trying to deliver probably a half a loaf of bread instead of a full loaf.
Yeah, an update from the Capitol with our buddy, our pal, Vin Candelora, State House Republican leader from North Brantford, a 1 or 2 day special session going on up there to tie up some loose ends and give folks a little relief. Vin, obviously, this note getting around, the governor spoke about it, big release now from his office and others regarding energy costs here in the state and saying that, well, there's going to be this $10 per month credit here to UI and Eversource customers for at least the first 5 or 6 months of the year, you know, trying to take a little pain, just a skosh of the pain away from these anticipated rate increases. Then what are your thoughts on that? I mean, there are going to be some people that say, okay, it's a little less pain, but does this at all get into or even near the core issue that we seem to have over and over again with energy costs in the state?
Yeah, it doesn't. And I think there's a pattern here that people should be concerned about.
Yep.
All that we have seen over the last year is the governor putting forth programs of cutting checks to people. You know, I remember back in the Roland administration when rebate checks were cut to people because they were overtaxed, the Democrats poo-pooed it and they were very critical of these rebate checks. Well, now they're addicted to them. So even when it comes to this energy policy, it's great they're taking $10 off your bill. But what people need to demand of our government is what changes are you going to make to systemically bring down energy prices in Connecticut? And that's the question that's not being asked right now. We have had extreme environmental policies in Connecticut where there's been hyper-focus on pushing electric buses that blow up and aren't even on the roads right now. They're still being evaluated and moving toward clean energy when there is no stopgap measures put into place. Under this governor, we've shut down waste-to-energy plants. which has reduced our ability to generate. We saw our nuclear facility almost close. Fortunately, that was kept open through a very protracted fight in the legislature. That's where we should be looking, to nuclear energy. We should be looking to Pennsylvania to be piping natural gas into Connecticut. We cannot rely on liquefied natural gas that's coming over from Europe. Obviously, the war has impacted that supply, but it's Connecticut's own fault for relying on all of these other environmental policies and not seeking the fossil fuels that are right over our border that could help bring down costs.
So you're saying,
frankly,
no, go ahead, Vin. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, and frankly, they're done in a clean way. You know, to suggest that this is dirty fuel just isn't true. Our emission standards have been reduced over the years, and we need to start embracing our fossil fuels again.
So, Vin, are you saying then there is a conscious effort from the governor's office and from some of the leadership up there to basically not make things cheaper, to basically kind of toe the status quo? They're looking at this more of a political position, not a consumer position. Could they be doing more, even holding discussions about this? But is this one of those things that you just don't speak about up there?
Yeah, it's a complicated issue, so they can hide behind the politics of it. It's always great to put out a flyer and saying I'm for clean air and Republicans are not. But it's a little bit more complicated than that. And so we've seen this commissioner of environment in our environment agency, where she's advanced these sort of, to me, these extreme environmental policies at the expense of fuel. You know, we have she has shut down waste energy plants. They have not built new ones because they believe that it's a dirty pollutant, which it's not. And now we're seeing our municipalities having to ship garbage out of state into landfills. And what that's done is only increased your municipal trash and even your private trash. So it's just been an ugly cycle in Connecticut. And we're seeing that now play out with the fact that every pipeline that was attempted to be built and brought into Connecticut was stopped by the extreme environmentalists or the DEEP itself, the agency itself. And so now we have a supply shortage. We're potentially looking at rolling blackouts this winter. I was in a call 2 weeks ago where they outlined the fact that ISO New England may have to shut us down and have four-hour rolling blackouts on top of having to pay more for your electricity. It's really outrageous. And they could only continue with this charade of, you know, I was saying throwing bread into a duck pond to try to solve the problem.
So, Vin, let me go back here because that just stunned me. So you said you were on a call with power officials recently, and they told you what about possible blackouts coming up? I want to make sure my listeners hear that. Go ahead.
Yeah, there is, you know, there's a supply crisis. Because we can't pipe the natural gas in from Pennsylvania, we have to rely on liquefied natural gas to fuel our generation plants. The war over in Ukraine has caused Europe to slow down on the shipment of those liquefied natural gas deliveries. So there could be a potential, if the weather is cold, that ISO New England is going to start ordering our grid to be reduced in order to, maintain the electric supply. And so that might cause rolling blackouts, similar to what you hear about in California. So that plan is being put into place. Hopefully it will never need to be administered. But the reality is, this is how much our energy grid is failing. And meanwhile, you know, a governor press release saying he's going to give you $10 in your bill really only scratches the surface of the problem. And that's why we have to push back and start getting more substantive with these policies, not just give out handouts.
Does the governor's office, Vin, final question, does the governor's office and the folks at DEEP and PURA, you know, do they realize how tone deaf that is to say, well, we know it's tough, but here's $10, you know, don't spend it all in one place. Like my mother used to tell me, my sainted Italian mother. Do they understand how tone deaf that is or not, maybe?
Well, they actually pigpile on to the tone deafness. When it was coming out that oil is really expensive and people might be relying on wood to heat their homes and their fireplaces, the commission, Environment Commission, actually put out a Facebook post and said, don't burn wood in your fireplaces because that's a pollutant.
Oh, jeez.
So they want to take away all your answers and let you freeze to death.
So they basically want us all to claim, they want us all to freeze, Vin, right? Layer up, cuddle up, it's going to be cold too bad.
That's right. Meanwhile, I'm sure they're heating all of their homes with you know, no regard at all. And so enough is enough, and I think we need some real data. Let's look at where our emission standards are in Connecticut, how much we have reduced pollutants over the last few decades. And let's get a little bit more reasonable on our policies, because if people are freezing to death, you know, we've really become immoral with our policies as a government, and it's not where we should be.
Vin, thanks. Vin Candelora, State House Republican leader. Vin, thank you. Keep us up to date. We appreciate it. Take care.
No, you're welcome. Take care.
Thanks, Vin. Be good. There you go, folks. So they don't want oil. They don't want burning trash to energy. I thought trash to energy plants were good things. Remember that? From a few years back, oh, we're going to take this trash, and instead of dumping it in landfills, we're going to make energy out of it. Well, from what Vin just said, I'm trusting that it's accurate, that we don't do that much of that anymore, if anything. So we don't do that. They don't like oil. They won't let us import gas from Pennsylvania there. There was a fight, like Vin said, in the General Assembly to keep the, was the Millstone plant operating? So what? Here's my question. How are we... And I'm glad Vin mentioned that. How do we stay warm? Like, what are we, honestly, what are we supposed to do? Are the, and again, when I say environmental crowd, I mean generally people who look at something so myopically that they don't step back and see the forest for the trees. What are they for? Well, we're going to put up windmills. Well, that's not going to work right now. See, that's the problem. The common person who may not have, what do they say, a dog in the race or whatever, a horse in the race or whatever kind of four-legged animal in the race, a lot of people, even on both sides of the aisle, say, well, geez, what are you for? How am I supposed to heat my home and heat my business? How do I do that? But God, geez, thank God we're going to get $10 a month. $10 a month, not even cash. It's a credit. $10 a month. Now you know why I could never run for the General Assembly? If I heard that crap up in Hartford that Vin just talked about, they'd be wheeling me out of there on a gurney. Oh, my God, my God. This is, this news I have for you here, man. Don't, what do they say? Don't spend it all in one spot. $10. How about that? $10. $10 whole. Stop the presses. If this was back in newspaper days, UI and Eversource customers could. Are you sitting down for this? Because this is earth shattering. This is going to cause thousands of Connecticut consumers here, power consumers. They won't know what to do with this, with the extra money. They're not going to know. Oh, sweet God in heaven. UI and Eversource customers could start getting $10 credits on their energy bills beginning next year. This is from the News 12 version of this. Hi, by the way, it's Connecticut Today. I'm sorry, I was still shaking here. I'm all a quiver, as they used to say. Yes, I'm all a quiver. UI and Eversource are trying to ease the burden, they say, of increases in electricity costs that are coming starting next month. Both UI and Eversource said, what, the average increase. You know what happens with average? Some are less, some are more. The average increase, because of everything that's going on with a shortage here, a shortage there, stuff going on, I guess, in Ukraine and with Russia and all this, they're going to see average increases of about $85 a month per month for 6 months. So you figure $500 to $600, it's going to cost you that much more on average. They're telling you, they told you that a few days ago, both customers of UI and Eversource. But now, to ease the bite, isn't this grand of them? They're going to start, now they're not going to pay you. They're not sending any checks or anything, no cash. So you can't take this $10 and like go to the casino with it. Well, I guess you could if you backed out the $10 that you were going to pay on the average increase of $85. You, with some twisted logic, could go to a cash machine and say, well, I'll take $10 out of this cash machine because I'm not spending it on electricity. According to the state, the utilities will file a motion with the Public Utilities Regulatory Authority, PURA, looking for approval, now get this, for the establishment of bill credits to fast-track the return of long-term power contract earnings to all customers starting on January 1. Oh, oof, that'll move the markets, huh? The proposal will provide Eversource customers with a monthly bill credit of around $10. Oh, Maude, that's a big night out on the city. That's about 12% of the average customer increase this winter for the peak winter months starting January 1 and continuing through April. The companies will also look for approval for a discount for low-income hardship customers to accelerate the 2021 Take Back Our Grid Act provision, enabling low-income discount rates by providing a flat rate credit to financial hardship customers starting in January until the new PURA-approved low-income discount rate goes into effect for 2024. Big deal. The customer relief plan also includes an Eversource shareholder expense of $10 million for energy assistance to customers in need. Can you say, boys and girls, can you say Band-Aid 101? I mean, this makes it sound so grand, doesn't it? Now, again, I'm not here to belittle anybody personally who works. I mean, there are thousands of good, hardworking people who work for both the United Illuminating Company and Eversource. I'm not here to bash them. You know, if anything, they're sometimes, I think, branded with too broad of a brush here. Listen, they have costs, they have shareholder concerns, and I get that. I understand all that. But again, this is what we do in Connecticut. And again, I'm also not going to sit here, as we're back at it after a holiday weekend, I'm not going to sit here and say I have the answer, because I don't. I freely use sometimes the three biggest words to use in talk radio or opinion radio. I don't know. I don't. I don't know. What do you want to do, Paul? I have no idea. You tell me. 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. Now, we've got some audio coming up later in the show. I found some of this off of our friends at CTN. You know, the governor touting this as some big deal, which it's not. It's just not. Now, it helps. I understand it helps, and especially for low-income people, it helps. But for the vast majority of Connecticut power customers, save for the 8 or 10 towns that, you know, have different power arrangements, but still, even those towns, everybody knows around here, it's Wallingford, there are some towns out east, too, are facing increased costs, too. And remember, for every dollar that you have to pay electricity costs with, that's a dollar that doesn't go into another part of the economy. But again, I urge you not to go crazy with this $10 savings on an electric bill for the next 6 months. That's probably going to cost you $80, $85, $90, $100 more. And again, this is not to belittle those people, but I understand they've got to do something. But my issue is here, this never gets solved. It's never solved. This is one of the things here in Connecticut about Connecticut. We're always playing catch up here. And again, if you ask me how to solve it, I'll say, I don't know. I will urge you to go to people that are at a much higher, much higher pay rate than me. Go to the people above me. I know nothing about electricity, about electric generation or whatever. What I do know is what, hundreds of thousands of state residents have known for years that seemingly every year, maybe it's not every single year, but seemingly, big word, a lot of syllables there, good Scrabble word, but seemingly everything just keeps getting more and more and more and more expensive with our power grid. What's the answer? I have no idea. You tell me. Now, please, if you're going to tell me what to do here, I'll take any suggestions. But dear God, try to compose yourself. I know you're all a quiver. Your loins are quivering. You're sweating about that $10 credit that you'll be getting on your bill. It's not like they're going to send you a check for 10 bucks. This is a bill credit. So for 6 months. So that's $50 or $60, 5 or 6 months. You're going to get a credit there on a bill increase, an overall use increase of $450, $500, $600 a year. You know what? You should feel damn lucky. You should. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Again, you tell me, if you're the governor, if you're in the General Assembly, what do we do here? Because I have no idea. All I know is the bill comes once a month. I write out a check and I either stick in the mail or get in my car and on the way to where I'm going, I pull off to the power company. I get out. I go up the steps, put it in the slot, and go down the steps and back in my car. So again, I'm no expert here, but you tell me. There's got to be somebody out there to give me some good advice on this. What do we do? Well, I do have one idea. Let's take a look at, and I'm saying this, and I know it's going to upset some people. Let's take a look at buying out, taking a state takeover of the power companies here. I know it's something that would have to be done over many years. It would involve buying shareholders out, buying stock, cashing that stock out. But just maybe it's something that we should look at. Doesn't say, I'm not saying we have to do it. In fact, maybe it's impossible. I don't know. But again, every year we are among the top states, if not the top state in some instances in power costs here. And it's something that we constantly talk about that never gets better. It simply never does. You know, for a long time, anything and everything Disney did was a mega hit. The theme parks, the TV shows. I mean, if you're my age, who didn't grow up with the wonderful world of Disney? And even the movies, up through the movies that, you know, I showed my son over and over and over again when he was growing up. But now there seems to be a little unrest within the Disney world. And you read about that over the weekend. They're calling back their old CEO, Bob Iger. And a lot of folks out there saying, hey, wait a minute, what's wrong with Disney? I have their stock in my 401k, my retirement portfolio. What is going on with Disney? Our guest right now is co-host of the podcast Off Script Film Review, the home of Bold Cinema. He's also on the staff at the School of the Arts at Southern Methodist University to talk about all this. Dr. Andrew Draper is the guest. Hey, Dr. Draper, it's Paul at WICC here in Connecticut. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Well, another stiff this weekend, Andrew. You know, Disney movies used to come out not that long ago, and they were guaranteed smash hits. Now, some of them still do well, but coming off of Lightyear, which was criticized by people, that didn't do well. What happened this weekend with another movie that I saw close to $200 million in production costs? What happened?
So Disney Animation's newest animated feature called Strange World completely bombed. It made just over $11 million. Hugely expensive. It's going to lose upwards of $100 million.
Yeah, that math doesn't work for Disney or any company. So, you know, Dr. Draper, you know, what is happening here? Is it competition? Is it that a lot of people say, hey, listen, Disney has become a little woke here? You know, parents usually make the decision about what their kids will see, at least in the theaters. What do you think's going on here?
Well, there's a number of factors going on. Number one, I haven't seen a lot of promotion of Strange World. I go and see a lot of movies, and I've seen maybe one trailer, and I know a lot of Disney fans who had no idea this movie was even coming out this week.
And what does that say to you, though, when you see that? Is that a business decision? Is it kind of laying low here? Hey, the thing was in the pipeline. Let's just get it out there. It does seem odd to me. You know, like I said, growing up with Disney and then, you know, having my son watch all these Disney mega hits that were promoted like crazy.
Right, yes. Well, the latest CEO, Bob Chapek, he's a big numbers guy, and a lot of the animated movies have been pushed to Disney Plus. But Disney is known for putting out a big animated feature during Thanksgiving, and so they kind of felt like they had to hold on to that window and just put this thing out no matter how it was going to do, just to kind of have a foothold and keep audiences familiar with their Thanksgiving releases.
Yeah, apparently a lot of people in Bridgeport and all across the state did not venture out to the big Thanksgiving weekend movie from Disney this time around. Cost almost $200 million to make, a paltry $11 or $12 million at the box office. What's going on with Disney? And they're getting a little flack sometimes now for some of the social messaging, maybe in their movies, maybe, maybe not. Dr. Andrew Draper continues with us. He co-hosts the podcast Off Script, Film Review, the home of Bold Cinema. He's also on the staff at the School of the Arts at Southern Methodist University. Dr. Draper, so what do you think? Is the notion that parents are keeping their kids from Disney stuff or a little upset of, you know, topics introduced there that they may not want their kids to see or hear about until they're older? Is that a viable or a notion that is real with some of these Disney bombs or not? Do you think that's being overplayed? What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's definitely being overplayed. Disney and basically all of their animated releases in the last few years have had some sort of a progressive character or plot, and it hasn't really affected the numbers of a lot of those features. Disney's problems with some features bombing is much more complicated and due to things like the pandemic, audiences getting used to stream it at home, unfamiliar properties, you know, switching CEOs a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think the notion that it's that these topics offend or parents are concerned is kind of wildly overblown on the internet.
It is incredible how much these animated features, whether it's Pixar or traditional animation, you know, the kind that I grew up with, it's incredible how much these things cost. I mean, these things come in higher, Dr. Draper, than sometimes with real actors and actresses.
Right, absolutely. Most of these pictures will be $150, $200 million budgets, plus even more when you factor in the marketing budgets. That's usually the same, if not more, than the production budget. So the overall budgets are just huge, and they're ballooning, and so they have to really hit. It's really got to make $500 million to be profitable.
That is $500 million, really, for an animated or computer-generated movie, something along the lines of Pixar. That's an incredible figure, a half a billion dollars.
Yeah, absolutely. And audiences they're more and more picky because of streaming at home and being very picky. So you have to have a real event picture to get people into the theater.
So is Disney sort of, Dr. Draper, maybe in some aspects or not, are they shooting themselves in the foot a little bit with Disney Plus, or do they figure, well, listen, it's good to have a home outlet here and we can maybe balance this off?
It's definitely a two-edged sword. During the pandemic, 3, 4, 5 big animated releases went straight to Disney Plus instead of in theaters, things like Luca, Soul, Turning Red, these pictures that normally you would have had to see in theater. And while that's great to be able to dump things there, or if maybe something doesn't do very well, you can move it to the streaming service. Audiences are also really comfortable just not leaving their homes.
Yeah, right. and you're a theater critic, and I want to get into the broader theme here. I'm seeing, especially here in the Connecticut area, a number of big theaters have shut down. A couple of them are going to be Zoom conference centers. A couple of theaters are going with this kind of dinner and a date thing where they're going to offer upscale food there as well. How is the American theater doing, Dr. Draper, and is going to the movies becoming kind of an endangered pastime or not?
theaters are definitely struggling, and it's the theater going experience isn't what it used to be. You're having to deal with maybe loud, obnoxious other customers or viewers, sticky, unclean seats. You know, it's so much easier just to watch at home, and also the expense has gone up, and also with concessions, it can be really expensive to take a family, especially.
And yeah, the concession thing too. And is it true? I spoke to a theater person years ago who said the rentals of these things are so high for these theaters, that's why the concession prices are so high, because that's the only way they make money. Is that really true?
Yes, that's absolutely true. Concessions is where they definitely make their money. They have to split most of the ticket price with the studio, as much as 50% to 60%, depending. Disney, I think, is about you only get 40% of those ticket sales. So concessions are where they have to make up that money.
So, listen, Bob Iger's coming back, and a lot of people are probably in this audience happy because, you know, they want to see that Disney stock creep up there again, whether it's in a retirement fund, an active investor portfolio, a 401k. What do you think he does? Bob Iger is sitting down, and he's looking at these huge costs for some of these movies, and he's seen a couple, three stiffs here over the past year or two. What do you think he does?
Well, Bob Iger has always been a friend to the creative, to the actors, to the animators, and has really let them kind of steer the ship a little bit in terms of what goes to streaming, what goes to theaters, what kind of the release strategy should be. So I think what he's going to do is really take a look at their properties, see what they're making, see where they go big and really make a ton of money at the theater, and maybe go smaller on their offerings for Disney Plus.
Final question, what happened to all these 3D movies? Because I kind of thought those were cool, but that was really big, what, 4, 5, 6 years ago? And now I see almost none of it. Are kind of the gimmicks, the 3D, the IMAX, the 360, are those limited now, or are they still out there?
3D has definitely fallen off in a lot of ways. It was definitely a fad after the first Avatar came out. For about 5 or 6 years, a lot of the big movies would do a big 3D conversion. But that's really kind of fallen by the wayside. IMAX still does pretty well. And if things are filmed for IMAX, like Mission Impossible or Top Gun Maverick, mm-hmm. that can be a really cool experience. And there's also the D-Box seats, which are the ones that shift and move a little bit like a ride. Those are doing pretty well.
Wait. They have seats that move? Really? I've never been in one of those. Wait, really?
Yeah, absolutely. I know that Cinemark has them, and the tickets are a little bit more expensive, but the seats will vibrate and turn and shift with the action. Something like Top Gun Maverick or Fast and the Furious is a good way to experience those.
Cool. Dr. Andrew Draper, check out his podcast, Off Script Film Review, the home of Bold Cinema. He's on the faculty at the School of the Arts at Southern Methodist University. Hey, Dr. Draper, thanks. We appreciate it. We'll see you down the road. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right. So Disney, he says, is okay. There may be some money problems there. We'll see if Mr. Iger can straighten that out.